Fast. Feast of Tabernacles is over. I'm on the mic, and I'll put the study back up. And there it is. Let's blow it. Okay. Well, Shabbat Shalom again. I must confess, I got a little mixed up. I thought today was Saturday, but it's Wednesday, the last day. Anyway, we're one of Messiah congregation, Kal Chabem Mashiach, just a little piece of the Israel of God. Let's ask God to bless and anoint the study, and we'll proceed. Heavenly Father, Master of the Universe, first we ask you to cover us in the holy blood of any sin, any blemish, any wrinkle, anything that would separate us from the living God. We just thank you, Lord and God, that we could be a shining example in this century. We just thank you, Father, that we could hold up your truth, the bloodstained banner, and we just thank God that we could proclaim your feasts and your holy days. And may God bless everyone today, and may God bless always the food we eat and the singing we do, and may God bless this study and let it be fruitful for everyone. And I thank God for every brother and sister around the world. And Father, we ask you, please show us where more brothers and sisters are. We just hunger for fellowship, so please show us where they're at. We'll go get them or bring them to us in Yeshua's name. Amen. God bless you, and may God heal you and strengthen you. Amen. Well, anyway, it's the last. This is the last time I can say for the year. It was nice Feast of Tabernacles, and it was nice Feast of Ingathering, Hag HaSukkot and Hag HaAsif. Now it's the last great day, the eighth day, and a solemn assembly. Amen. Shabbat Shalom. Well, there's the websites, and that's still going on in case you miss anything I say, because I might talk too fast because I'm from New York. So if you didn't catch all that, I'll talk a little slower. And there's my phone numbers. There's my email. Okay. Today is, believe it or not, October 3rd. Wow, 2018 in the 21st century. And there's the word October, which is really strange. They call it the eighth month when it's really, even in the Gregorian way of looking at it, it's the 10th month. Isn't that strange? Because octa means 10. But we go to God's calendar, Hayitanim. There it is, the seventh month. Isn't that strange? And it's the 22nd day. And you guys already know how to prove it's not New Year. It's not 5779. It's not Tishrei. It's not, what else is it not? I don't know. It's a lot of stuff it's not. Anyway, just watch out for Judaism. Watch out for Karaites. Watch out for anything that's against the Bible. Watch out for Protestants. Watch out for every religion, you know. Okay, so there's the word ha'etanim, in case you missed it. And we've been reading a lot of Hebrew this week. There's the little first and last letter of the Hebrew alphabet, the Aleph and the Tav. And then we got, of course, the word ha, which is the direct, you know, whoops, hold on a second. What happened? Oh, no, let's see. I don't know. I got to go back. I don't mean to do that. But anyway, there it is right there. The Aleph and the Tav. I don't know how to go back on this kind of a computer. But anyway, so we all know that, there it is, the Aleph and the Tav. It's the definite article, ha. Then we have the Aleph and the Tav, first and last letters of the alphabet. And then we have the word neem, okay? That's really important. Okay, let's try to bring this back up. Hold on, everybody. Okay, let me just go over here. Try to right-click it. Nothing's happening. Right-click it there. Right-click it there. Right-click it there. I don't see. Let's top right there. Okay. All right, so there we have the Aleph and the Tav, okay? Anyway, and there's the word neem, means perpetual, constant, perennial, or ever-flowing. So this is something you might hear only here in our congregation. You won't really see this in other congregations because they say Tishrei, which is not in the Hebrew Bible, or they say Happy New Year, okay? So here we have the solemn assembly, the last great day, and that's obviously, that's what this is all about today. The last great day, a holy convocation, a sacred assembly, and that's why we're all gathered together. So it's a Yom HaShemini, that's the eighth day. It
It's a Sabbath, a Shabbat, and a holy convocation, a Mikra Kodesh for our Hebrew students here. And it's a solemn assembly, a Sedet. And it's a rest, Shabbaton. There it is. So, the last great day, holy convocation, solemn assembly. It's a lot of different things today, you know. It says, speak unto the children of Israel, and say, the 15th day of the 7th month shall be the Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days, which we did. Right? The first day was a holy convocation. We did no work of any matter, you know, out there. We didn't get paid for anything. And the 7th day, you shall 7 days you shall offer an offering made by fire unto Yehovah. And we did that in a spiritual manner. You know, we were here and we offered and thanked the Lord and praised him, and may it be an exciting offering to God. And then today's the 8th day. There shall be a holy convocation unto you. And we offer an offering made by fire unto Yehovah. It is a solemn assembly. You should do no work today, which I can't imagine. So far, we didn't do anything except study since this morning. It says, and there's the Hebrew in case you want to read that later. And these were or are the feasts of Yehovah, which we proclaim to be holy convocations, and to offer an offering made by fire unto Yehovah. And I always like to think of my zeal as the fire of, you know, of God, and our enthusiasm that we do this with encouragement, and, you know, that we want to do it. It's not something that's just a drag or something, you know, we want to do it. And all these burnt offerings and meat offering and the sacrifice, the drink offerings, everything upon its day. And there were so many things. Remember, you could read the other studies. It's all divisible by 7. There were so many different things that they did. And then we have Brother John in the Gospel of John. We have recorded the Feast of Tabernacles was at hand. And now about the midst of the feast, Yeshua went up into the temple and taught. So Yeshua even acknowledged the Feast of Tabernacles, which most people don't even know in the Christian world. There it is right there. And then the last day, the great day of the feast, which is the 8th day right now, Yeshua stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scripture hath said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And if you try to find that verse, you're not going to find it exactly. But if you put a bunch of verses together, then you'll find it. Okay, so you have to put some verses together about that. Okay, it's not just verbatim somewhere. But this he spake of the Spirit, which they that believed on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because Yeshua was not yet glorified. That's right. And they got the baptism of the Holy Spirit after he was, you know, resurrected. Remember that? And in Acts chapter 1. And that's what this is talking about, the Spirit. Yes. And then we have this word, atzeret. Atzeret. That's an assembly, especially on a holy day. And that's what today. We're having a meeting. We're meeting today. You know, that's what we're doing. Back to Leviticus. These are the feasts of Yehovah, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations. And that's really important. I mean, when we're actually acknowledging that these are the feasts of the God of the universe, just like, you know, the other day when there was a rainbow, which makes me just go right to the scriptures, and then I seen it was a covenant between God and the earth. Then I seen it was a covenant that he remembers being God and the world, the earth, you know, the people. And I thought, wow, God is actually looking at the rainbow right now, remembering his covenant, and he's thinking about us. That's just beautiful to think of. I mean, just think of these gigantic eyes looking at us. And I was thinking of, like, you know, God's remembering his covenant. But that's the same thing about the feast of the Lord. We're remembering his feast, and I'm sure God will bless us for this, and we're proclaiming them, and we got signs up, and we tell people, and we talk to people. And this is, we do this besides the Sabbaths of Yehovah, and besides the gifts that we give him during the year, and besides our vows, and besides all our free will offerings, which ye shall give unto Yehovah. We always give an offering unto God on the first, you know, God's month, whatever you can afford, it doesn't matter. And also the 15th day of the 7th month, we also did this, of course, we already did all this. First day was a Sabbath, and the 8th day is a Sabbath. That's today. And we went and got boughs of goodly trees, and we built our sukkah, and we were in the sukkah every day this week, as far as I know. I'm pretty sure of that. And we dwelt in there, and we did exactly all this. And we kept it a feast unto the Lord 7 days in the year. This is only, you know, it's a feast unto in the 7 days in the year. It's a statute forever in your generations that you may celebrate it in the seventh month. And we did it in the seventh month, which is Ha'etanim. We didn't just do it when we felt like it or when it was convenient or when we had time or, you know, pencil got in. No, we didn't do that. We did it when he wanted us to do it, obediently. You know, that's really important to know. And we dwelt in the booth 7 days, and we're all Israelites here. We're all Israel. We're all the Israel of God. Don't forget that. And we hope the generations out there may know that God made the children of Israel to dwell in booths when he brought them out of the land of Egypt. He is Jehovah our God, and he brought us up out of our Egypt, our last life of sin. And Pharaoh, our Pharaoh was Satan, and he had us in bondage. Yeah. I'm happy that he brought us out. And Moses and me and anyone else here, we declare unto the children of Israel the feast of Yehovah. So we did it again, everyone. Believe it or not, one more year and 17 years later for us. And I don't know if you can count how many years it is for you guys. And how many years for you? Yeah. Yeah. This is your second year. Right. How about for you? Can you remember? Four? Okay. Maybe your fourth one. Maybe your second one. And how about you guys? Your 10th one? Your 8th one? How about you? Your 3rd one? How about you, Teresa? Your 10th. Wow. And our 17. Yeah, it's amazing. It's just amazing to know that. Solemn. Now, there's other verses in the Bible that have solemn assemblies, in case you didn't know. We read about this one already, solemn assembly. And then the 8th day is a solemn assembly. It says it numerous times. I'll read Nehemiah a little bit. It says, and I always, you know, I'm thankful to God that God gave us eyes and a brain that we could digest the scriptures. And we found written in the book, too, just like Nehemiah and Ezra. We found written in the law which Jehovah commanded Moses that children of Israel should dwell in booths in the feast in the seventh month. And we didn't change it. We didn't change it to, you know, the new year, and we didn't change the name of the month. We didn't change anything. We just did exactly what they said, and we did exactly what Nehemiah did. You know, it's just amazing that if there was a book written, we would be in it right now saying, and the people in this century we found written in the book that we're supposed to do it. And then, you know, if there was centuries to come, I don't think there is, but if there was, they would be written in a book. That's why we have a website showing that we found it also. And we did all that, and we read all this. This is not going to be a long study. Here's another. Solomon kept the feast 7 days in Chronicles. There it is right there with all Israel, a very great congregation. So even Solomon did it right there. So it's, and you know, it's from the time of the Torah all the way up to Solomon, then of course Yeshua. And here we are in the 21st century. We're doing it too. And it says in the 8th day they made a solemn assembly for the children. For they kept the dedication of the altar 7 days and the feast 7 days. Here's a few other solemn assembly verses. 6 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread, and on the seventh day shall be a solemn assembly. We do that, of course, right? To Jehovah our God. Here's one in Joel, which has been coming up in the last couple of days. It says, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the elders, call the inhabitants of the land and the house of Jehovah your God, and cry unto Jehovah. And of course, this took place back in the Kings when God was very upset at Israel. He sent Nebuchadnezzar. That's what the book of Joel is all about. It's about the captivity of Judah when you read it correctly. And I read it this morning thoroughly again, and I went through the whole thing. But then at the end of the book of Joel, of course, God is very upset at Nebuchadnezzar because they really took advantage of the children of Israel, and God came after him, and he wiped him out. So that's what we did, okay? Now, even the pagans, believe it or not, they have a Atzerah. They have one there, and unfortunately, everything that God has, remember, the Satan has an imitation. So whatever God has, says, and Jehu said, proclaim a solemn assembly for Baal. Isn't that terrible? And they proclaimed it. And that's really a sad thing. Now, you might think, you know, that's a strange thing, but people are doing that now. We already went over the last great day, the feast in John. We did that already, so I'll just pass that up. Here's some verses about eight-day events or events on the eighth day. In the eighth day was the circumcision. That's something that's important. That was an eighth day. On the eighth day, they circumcised every man child in your generations. Okay. Let's see here. On the seventh day, he shall shave his hair. What is this about? It says, and Jehovah spoke unto Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. It shall be on the seventh day. They shave all his hair off his head and his beard and his eyebrows, even all his hair, and he shall shave off. He shall wash his clothes. Also shall wash his flesh and water, and he shall be clean. And on the eighth day, he shall take two lambs without blemish. And it goes into all the offerings there. But if you notice, a lot of stuff in the Bible is 7 and 8 and 3 and 12 and 40 and 50. What other numbers? Anything else? 20? 24? 144,000? What's that divisible by? 70? Yeah, 70 elders, 70 palm trees. Yeah, there's a lot of things in the Bible. You have to always think about when you're reading something in the Torah or the whole Tanakh, what does it remind you of, you know? Anyway, the priest makes him clean, and our priest makes us clean. That's what this leper stuff is all about, believe it or not. It's all about Messiah being the high priest, making us clean from our spiritual leprosy. That's what this whole thing's about. Anyway, I'm going to pass all that up. Book of Numbers says, basically, Jehovah spoke unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when either man or woman shall separate themselves to vow a vow of a Nazarite, to separate themselves unto Jehovah, all the days of his separation he shall be holy unto Jehovah. And if any man die very suddenly by him, he hath defiled the head of his consecration. Then he shall shave his head in the day of his cleansing. On the seventh day, he shall shave it. And on the eighth day, he shall bring two turtle doves. See, there it goes again, the seventh day and the eighth day, right? Same situation, the same thing. The whole thing about the Nazarite vow is all about Messiah. He is the separate one, the set apart one to God. He is the clean one, you know, and it's all about the way we're supposed to be spiritually, you know, Nazarites to God. Anyway, and the priest shall offer the one for a sin offering and the other for a burnt offering and make atonement for him. And again, it's Messiah always making atonement for us. And always, that's what I'm always remembered about all these verses, besides just reading the physical that's going on, if you know what I'm talking about. Brother Peter, he has an interesting thought. He says, God spared not the old world, all the people that were there at that time. He only saved Noah, and Noah happened to be the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness. There was only eight people on the ark. That's really amazing, you know. And he brought the flood upon the world of the ungodly. And that's going to happen again. That's going to be a different kind of flood, a flood of fire. Yeah, it's going to be scary. It's not going to be funny at all. Believe me, it's going to be frightening. In the book of Luke, we see it came to pass on the eighth days after, came to pass about 8 days after, these sayings that Peter, James, and John and went up into a mountain to pray, Yeshua did. And as he prayed, the fashion of his countenance was altered, and his raiment was white and glistening. And behold, there talked with him two men, which were Moses and Elias. I'm not saying those are the two witnesses, but those are two faithful people right there, who appeared in glory and spake of his decease, which he should accomplish at Jerusalem. So they already knew what was going to happen. Isn't that weird? They knew the future. Did you ever understand that? But Peter and they that were with him were heavy with sleep. And when they woke up, they saw his glory and two men that stood with him. And it came to pass, as they departed from him, Peter said unto Yeshua, Master, it's good for us to be here. Let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. Not knowing what he said. While he thus spake, of course, here comes the cloud, overshadows all of them, and they feared as they entered into the cloud. They were right into it, into the cloud, and there came a voice of the cloud saying, This is my beloved son, my word, hear him. Wow. Ooh, that gives you the chills, don't it? Could you imagine being in a cloud and that taking place? And when the voice was passed, Yeshua was found alone, and they kept it close and told no man in those days any of those things which they had seen. In the Gospel of John, it says, after 8 days again, disciples were with Thomas, were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Yeshua, the doors being shut. The doors were shut, and Yeshua, he just came anyway. And he stood in the midst and said, Shalom Alechem, Shalom, peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, Reach hither your finger, and behold my hands. And reach hither your hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And that's what we always have to be in our lives. We have to be not faithless, but believing that God is watching us, that he's alive, that he's seeing us, he's observing us, he's protecting us, he's guiding us, you know. It's really amazing. And we have to believe that he is God, you know. Without faith, it's impossible to believe. You have to believe that he is God and there's none else. Thomas answered and said to him, My Lord and my God. He called Yeshua God right there. Okay. Yeshua said unto him, Thomas, because you have seen me, you believe. Blessed are they that have not seen me and yet believe. Amen. That's us. So I thank God that he's put it in our hearts to believe this. Just think, we could be unbelievers, but I thank God that he gave us a faith to believe that. And many other signs truly did Yeshua in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these were written, only reason these were written, that you might believe that Yeshua is the Messiah, the Son, the Word of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. And if you don't have the Son, you don't have eternal life. Because the life's in the Son. That's really a scary thought. But you have to have the right Son, because Satan made a multitude of imposters out there. Other Jesuses running around, other Gospels, other spirits to trick you, other websites, other who knows what. You got to always watch everything the way anything that comes, you know, at you. You have to watch everything, especially the things that come gently and easy. Those are the ones you got to say, wait a second, who's that? Because that Satan doesn't come like the big monster. He comes as something handsome or pretty or sweet or gentle or kind. He's an angel of light. So watch out. He can come as somebody that you like a lot or dislike. Who knows? Anyway. So beware. Soon, many pagan holidays. We are commanded by God not to learn the way of the heathen. Don't learn the way of the heathen. Don't be dismayed at the signs of heaven. Only the heathen are dismayed at them. The customs of the people out here are vain. They're setting up across the street out there already. The customs of the people are vain. That means they're absent of knowledge. Customs of the people... Anyway, in the past, for idols, they used to cut down a tree out of the forest, the work of the workman, with an axe, and then they decked it with silver and gold and whatever, I guess, whatever else they could find, and they fastened it with nails that it didn't move, okay? Once upon a time, Halloween was banned in the United States. Did you know that? Halloween was not celebrated in this country until 1845. There was no such thing. But, of course, through the... You know, the pressures of different churches, that there was no holidays in the United States in the beginning. So they looked towards Europe and they brought all these pagan holidays in. There was no holidays. Because remember, America wasn't founded by the God of Israel. The origin of Halloween is a Celtic festival of Samhain, Lord of Death and evil spirits. Long before Yeshua, at least 2,000 years, the Druids in Britain, Ireland, Scotland, France, Germany, and other Celtic countries observed the end of summer by making sacrifices to Samhain. The Celts considered November 1st as being the first day of death because the leaves were falling. That's how pagan they were. They see the leaves falling out there, and they go, oh, it's death. It's getting darker, too, sooner, and temperatures were dropping. Oh, it must be the end. They believed Muk'ola, their sun god, was losing strength, and Samhain, lord of death, was overpowering him. Further, they believed on October 31st, Samhain assembled the spirits of all who had died during this previous year. He assembled them. Spirits had been confined to inhabit animal bodies for the past year as punishment for their evil deeds. That's what they say. They were allowed to return to their former home to visit the living on October 31st, Feast of Samhain. Druid priests led the people to diabolical worship ceremonies in which horses, cats, black sheep, oxen, human beings, and other offerings were rounded up, stuffed into wicker cages, and burned to death. This was done to appease Samhain and keep spirits from harming them. So Halloween has always been the pagan celebration of death. And if you go online, you see, put up pagans, they like to be called that. You can Google that. And they're celebrating all this stuff that I'm talking about right now, like a holiday. You see a lot of decorations where you live? I don't know if you do. Right. You'll start seeing all this everywhere because they don't know about the Feast of God. They're still doing, you know, the pagan stuff. Anyway, in conclusion, this is not a long study. Huh? Soon more rain. Bool will be coming, which is the eighth. And guess what? It's the eighth month. We just finished seven, and we're going to eighth, okay? So it's very sad, but the four holy days and feasts of God of Israel are over this year again. The last harvest of the year is over. Isn't that terrible? It's over. We have no more holy days for the end of the until next year. We have Sabbaths. So remember, beware of false teachers that copy each other, such as Judaism, Messianics that follow Judaism, Messianics that follow Karaites, Protestant Gentile teachers that follow Messianics that follow Karaites or Judaism. Okay, so anyway, once you hear one of those words, go the other way. Let nothing or no one separate you from the living God of Israel. Follow Yeshua. Okay, I'll see you soon for the weekly Sabbath, Lord willing. So Shabbat Shalom, everyone. This is not a long study today, but just remember 7 and 8 are very important numbers with God. And just remember God's feasts are all about the first and second coming of the Messiah. If somebody says to you, what do you mean you did this fall feast of God? Say, well, we're just rehearsing the second coming of the Messiah in someone's lifetime in the seventh month called Ha'etanim. And Ha'etanim means the first and the last forever. That's Messiah. He's God. He's forever. He's the ever-flowing stream. He's the living waters, you know. And try to put it all together in a big picture. And that's what we were talking about this morning when we were studying some other things. But you have to get like your spiritual artist board and paint pictures and try to put together all the Bible. Because it's the glory of God to conceal a thing, but it's the honor of kings and queens to search out a matter. So just search it out. It's good. The answer will be there. And may God bless you, and I thank God for you people here. And may God show us more, brothers and sisters, and may God bless the rest of this day. And may God bless this Sabbath, and may God protect us in everything we do and say and act. And wherever we go, may God open doors for us spiritually and physically. And may your soul prosper and be in health, and may you prosper and be in health also as your soul prospers in Yeshua's name. Amen. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. God bless you, and we'll meet again, Lord willing. And I'll just end here. I'll stop that. And I'll stop the video. Shabbat Shalom. And we'll see you on the Sabbath in a couple of days. That's pretty amazing. And then we'll stop the, I'll just shut this off.